that changed everything for me. That business owner mindset, when I started thinking of as a business owner and how could I grow, like that shifted everything. But the biggest piece of my success, honestly, was from that point on, I became obsessed with finding people who are smarter than me and learning what made them tick.
You are listening to David Lewis, owner of multiple businesses and Livian's territory leader. In this episode, we talk about how to get in rooms, how to upgrade your success language, and how to find opportunities in business. This episode is for those who are looking to have the mindset of doing things on a bigger scale, partnerships, and creating opportunities around you, regardless of years in the business or experience. So the question is, how do entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and experts scale to create a massive business all while having fun and impacting lives? Welcome to The Raquel Show. I'm your host, Raquel Quinette, business coach, real estate entrepreneur, investor, wife, and sports mom. This podcast will give you real quick tips, strategies, tools, and inspire you to help you play bigger in business and in life. Are you ready? Let's grow to the next level. Welcome to The Raquel Show. I love interviewing game changers who are shaking things up all the time. And my guest today is a regional leader for an expansion team who's always looking at the future and creating opportunities for himself and everyone around him. We met a few years ago at an event, and he was actually one of my regional leaders when we were part of another expansion team. So welcome to the show. He's got a lot to share. Welcome to the show, David Lewis.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
I'm excited to have you here just because you have a different insight than I say most people in the industry, having gone and known your journey. But I would love the audience to know who David Lewis is and like, what are you most passionate about today?
I think my passion's kind of developed and evolved like over my, you know, long 8 years in this real estate world. I think, you know, when I started, I just wanted the big paycheck. I was previously working in a cubicle making like $40,000 a year pre-tax, right? Selling roofing in Chicago from Atlanta. I'd never actually been to Chicago. So it was all remote. And the fact that you could get a $10,000 check for doing something like just blew my mind, right? So that was initially like my goal. But one thing that kind of blew my mind as I got further into the Keller Williams world and real estate as a whole is the ability to build, to create opportunities. In the beginning, I thought every real estate agent was just the guy on the shopping cart, right? Super cheesy, very business cardy. And I was like, it's not really what I want to do. But I was like, well, if that guy's getting $10,000 checks, maybe I'll give it a shot. And then quickly I realized, oh, there's people with large businesses and big worlds. And if you get enough of those $10,000 checks, the big paychecks, it fuels other opportunities and funds other like visions and stuff. And so I moved from this obsession with the big paychecks into this obsession with the creation of opportunity, right? The creation of connection, the creation of building businesses and creating opportunities for me. And then as I evolved in leadership and I evolved in growth and creating opportunities for those around me. And that is really what I do now. I mean, if I have one thing, it's impact and the creation of opportunities. And like, that's kind of what I'm obsessively focused on.
Amazing. So you, within 8 years, went from solo agent is what we would call it, solo entrepreneur, into when was the time that you said, hey, I see that bigger vision. I want to go ahead and like start to hire people around me, start a team, you know, create a bigger business.
Yeah. So very early on, you know, I got blessed to meet Ben Kinney really early on in my career. And I was given a challenge as an individual agent that if you previewed 5 homes a day for the next 5 weeks, I'll connect you with Ben Kinney, who I'd heard on a podcast at the time. So I previewed so many homes in our local market that I accidentally repeated on some of them because I had previewed 250 homes for this opportunity. So I got connected with Ben, and Ben, like I said, like he didn't make any sense to me. Like it didn't like, you know, when I was speaking to him, he might as well have been speaking French because he was expanding into Europe and I was trying to figure out how to throw an open house. Mm-hmm. So very quickly, based on that, I was like, man, this is a language of success. there's a language of success at all levels. And this guy is doing some very elite stuff. And I took that and it created two things for me. Starting that day, I never, ever told anyone I was a real estate agent again. It was always, hi, I'm David Lewis. I own a real estate company. Right. Instantly that day, even as an individual agent, I didn't have any employees, but every one of the Keller Williams office members, like our MCA office and all that, instantly went on my website as part of the team. Right. Because it came from agent mindset and you know, agent thinking to business owner mindset and business owner thinking. And the second piece that fueled is just my need to surround myself with smarter people. Because while I realized I didn't understand Ben's language of success at the time, that there were people a small step ahead of me that I should and I would understand. And I wanted to know what they thought was important. So I obsessively focused on getting with them and understanding what they talked and, you know, and that kind of fueled my growth from there. But the business owner mindset was the first thing that I adopted. And that was very early on, right? 2-3 months in.
So I love that. So business mindset, would you say that has been the key to your success as you look back at your journey? Or if it isn't, what do you think has been your key to success?
Getting rid of the agent mindset, which is very much reactionary to the things around you, right? Oh, I have this opportunity to list a house, so I'm going to do the best I can on listing this current house, right? But understanding the lead flow and understanding lead funnel and understanding the creation of opportunities first, and then the delivering on the real estate business second was a big piece for me. That changed everything for me. That business owner mindset, when I started thinking of as a business owner and how could I grow, like that shifted everything. But the biggest piece of my success, honestly, was from that point on, I became obsessed with finding people. Keep using that word obsessed, but it's true because like you have to have like this big passion. I had this obsession with finding people who were smarter than me and learning what made them tick. Learning what they thought about, because I was hanging out in this group of 5 people who were all new agents. And I looked around, I was like, well, none of us have a clue what's happening. So finding people who are smarter than me and better than me and knowing and making them hang out with me and forcing myself into rooms with them to learn and to dialogue with them. All of a sudden, you had this essentially a brand new agent who was hanging out with people with multiple locations and hundreds of millions of dollars of volume and creation. And eventually, I just started to belong in those rooms. Eventually, like the things they started to say, which initially were so abstract to me, and I'm like, I don't know what that means, like began to make sense. And now fast forward, 7 years later, Ben and I are friends. And he's someone that like when we talk now, I can honestly say like it's not something that sounds like French to me. Right. So I've upped my game on that language of success. And those two things combined has created a roller coaster ride of growth and opportunity and chances and changes. And yeah, it's been amazing.
You know, I always say that just get in the rooms, right? And you've done a really good job at getting in the rooms and putting yourself out there and being uncomfortable. Like you didn't even know the language, as you said earlier. And now like you adopted the language and now can speak the language of the success when it comes to the business owner mindset. So let's talk about this business owner mindset, because oftentimes in this industry, we have like our own business and you've been able to like partner and see a bigger vision with other people. What have you had to do? Because not every agent can do some of the things that you've done when you do end up partnering with somebody. Like what's their thought process? How did you come about that? Because you had your own successful business.
Yeah. Well, what other industry do you have where like everyone who is a quote unquote business owner has their face and their name like all over every piece of marketing that they have, right? Like, I mean, most real estate companies are the David Lewis real estate team or something along those lines. So we have a problem in this industry of ego, right? Also, too, we're in this world of we've been riding one of the arguably the greatest real estate market of all time for the past, 7, 8, 9 years at this point. And a lot of people really think that their success is because they're the next best thing and there's some brilliant piece. And what I realized really first is like you had to remove that ego piece out of there because I didn't have all the answers, right? I think I would bet on my grit and hustle over anybody that I know. Well, maybe not you, right? Second to Raquel, I would bet on my grit and hustle over anyone that I know. But I realized I didn't have all the answers. And at first I needed to have all the answers. And then I realized that I didn't have them. And I was like, well, if I'm already putting myself in rooms with people who are smarter than me, right, and trying to learn from those people, why would I not partner with those people? Why would I not, like, if they've already figured it out? And this is the thing about real estate, right? And this is, you know, kind of the foundation of what we do at Livian as a real estate platform, is we all wake up fighting the same fight with the same problems, the same challenges every day. How do we create opportunities and leads, right? How do we train our agents the best way? How do we do these things? And I was like, if we're all fighting the same fight and this person's doing it at such a high level that they're like printing money, making millions of dollars and expanding across the country, maybe I should be looking into their solutions instead of trying to come up with my own, since I already know we're fighting the same fight. So once I threw the ego piece out of it and realized I didn't necessarily need my name and I didn't have to be the guy that traveled, that took it across the country, then it was like, wow, who do you want to learn from? It opened up this whole other avenue, right, of opportunity and thoughts and people to learn from and people to partner with. And then this net new obsession that I keep saying, like, it became finding the right partner and finding the person who could facilitate that growth. Mm-hmm. Right. And that led through, you know, multiple journeys through what we call expansion and partnership. And there's a lot of interesting thoughts when it comes to the word expansion, but I honestly, like, I really just think of it as consolidation. Right. I look at it like pulling my resources with their resources to create a better result at the end of it.
Yeah. So you had so many like nuggets and so many good points, because oftentimes, you know, there is a ceiling to anybody like that's building a business, whether it's in real estate or not, to their own growth if it's done by themselves. It's always much easier when you collaborate and you are in alignment. And anytime that I've been in the startup world, no one's doing it on their own. Maybe the vision, but they've brought other people to come together and they raise lots of money because they partner together for a bigger vision. And so now I think we're starting to see a little bit of that, even more so in this space, which I am excited about. So what do you think is next for the industry, for specifically real estate, as we talk about expansion and collaborating with other people?
Yeah, it's, I love that question. And you're exactly right. Consolidation, collaboration. In the Keller Williams world, especially, and in other areas of real estate too, this word expansion is like all encompassing, right? So I run a team out of Atlanta, the best real estate team in Atlanta, for those who are listening. And then we moved and opened a location in Savannah. That is an example of expansion. We expanded into Savannah and we used the resources of my location in Atlanta to fuel that team. But that's one level, one version of expansion. Then you have these giant, these companies, right, that are operating more like giant brokerages, like where you have Ben Kinney and Chris Suarez in place, and you've got Gary and Adam and the team I'm partnering with over at Livian, right? You've got these big organizations that are working across the country, and those would be considered expansion too. And it's weird because it's very different than me moving into Savannah. Right. It's similar, but different. Right. So I bring that point up specifically because you now have these like giant conglomerates, right, that are taking over the real estate landscape, whether it be a Place or a Livian. You're seeing it with Side. You're seeing it with like all of these different companies. And all it is at its very core is the pooling of resources to take on more territory faster. Mm-hmm. Right. The organizing of systems in a way where the average person doesn't have to figure it out for their own and they can leverage and have a quality of life, right? It's the partnering to be better, right? To yeah. be better quicker.
Another I tend to thing. Look at it as like more of a franchise, right? And we just don't use that word franchise. We use expansion, is because somebody's figured out the model and they're providing certain resources to each location. And the quicker you have these franchises open up, you obviously learn through every single franchise, the success to higher dollars becomes even quicker.
Yeah, a franchise, and not franchise necessarily in the traditional sense of franchise, like more of a partnership, but it's franchising at its core, right? It's the sharing of branding, the sharing of systems, the sharing of thoughts. And, you know, one thing that's always been attractive to me about it is that, like I said, there was the point where it was like, well, they know more than me and I can learn from them. And why do I have to figure out and have the resources for the best systems when they already have it? But there's also this power of a room that you can create with a pool of the most brilliant minds in the industry. So one piece that's often overlooked is this race to take over like space in the industry, right? Because you ask where the industry is growing, it's going to consolidation, right? You're going to be, there's like this, there's this wealth and success gap that's being created between like the average real estate team and these mega, mega platforms and teams that are growing at like such a rapid rate. And they're taking market share like at an insane amount of time or at a rate, right? But there's this power that most people aren't talking about of the thought leaders and the people that are getting into these companies. And when you put them all into a room and they're all culturally aligned, they all have the same mission, they're all fighting the same fight, you're getting so much innovation. You're getting so much excellence and like you're getting so much, there's like renewed energy, right? Where it's changing everything. And honestly, it's good because in real estate right now, there's no lack of big giant conglomerate like companies that are trying to get involved, right? Like you've got Zillow taking space and you had Open Door playing in the space and you've got all these big companies. I mean, even if you look at a company like Compass, right? Like their whole model like shook and changed everything up, right? There's all these different people trying to play in this space from like a big money point of view. And without consolidation, fighting for the average agent and fighting for the local person and providing them with better resources, I think we would be in trouble. Yeah. I do. I think we would be seriously in trouble in giving up market share to these companies. But these platforms, because essentially what they are is it's just a group of a bunch of tinier, right? Not tiny, right? Some of them are very large, but smaller businesses pulled together in the sharing of resources. But there's a protection level that I don't think people are really, really thinking about, right? By being attached to something bigger.
There's definitely a risk in both sides, right? And we do see it. I agree with you that as we talk about the future of real estate, Encompass definitely did change the game because they were the first, I would say, that really like was publicly known that they got funding from SoftBank. When you get something like that in an industry that's new, it becomes disruption, right? So now you're starting to see other companies start to invest, not only in brokerages, but also in teams. Do you think that the solopreneur or the solo agent is going to be obsolete in the next couple of years? I'm curious to know what you think.
Real estate is like always driven at like such a hyper-local level, right? So if you have a small town in Montana, I think that the agent there is going to be just fine. I mean, I think it'll change, but in some of these bigger, and that's not to say to take a shot at a small agent in Montana, but I think there's some hyper-local things where you're never going to be able to replace that one-on-one experience in like a small town and the one-on-one, the connection piece. And I think it's true in a small town in Montana. I think it's true in Atlanta, Georgia. I think it's true in LA to an extent. But I do believe it's going to be harder to compete. Commissions seem to be dropping across the country. The more companies that come in and the bigger these institutions that come in, they devalue that individual expertise of what, we always touted, right? We're in this age of the most educated consumer ever, where before it was, hey, you come to me, I'm the gatekeeper. I have access to all the homes that you could buy. And now you come to me, you're like, hey, I actually know more than you do currently because I've been on Zillow for 6 months at this point, and I can tell you what houses have come on the market, gone off the market. I can tell you about pricing trends. And that's as the consumer. So as that stuff happens, we're going to have to be fighting for values and resources. And I don't think the local agent, to answer your question, is in trouble, but they're definitely going to get behind because they're going to have to keep up with these big companies that are honestly devaluing what real estate was traditionally known as previously, right? It's just evolving and it's changing, but the bigger conglomerates and these bigger companies, these platforms, right? Like Livium, it adds acceleration to what you're doing. It adds to your resources. You're able to operate at a faster pace, which gives you more of a fighting chance at the hyper-local level against these bigger companies.
Well said. And so you have been building teams for several years now. It seems like you were a solopreneur or solo agent for a very short period of time, and you quickly knew that it was about having a company, right? You are a real estate company is how you would introduce yourself. And so if somebody was starting out and building a team, knowing what you know today, what advice would you give them?
Number one, don't put your name on the sign. Create a brand and an identity that can be attached to you and associated with you, but doesn't necessarily have to be you and your face, right? It's hard to scale your face. That would be number one. Number two would be, you know, all expansion and attaching to platforms really is an accelerated example of what I talked about forcing yourself into rooms to learn from people who are smarter than you. So I would say, look at that, look at that as an opportunity. Look at the opportunity to learn from people smarter than you, right? Because not everyone's going to have the grit to do the things that I was doing to get into these rooms, you know, traveling across the country, literally sneaking into rooms, right, that I didn't belong into, right? Like flipping my card backwards so you couldn't see what my production level was to follow a Lance Loken into a room. So I'm like, man, that guy knows what he's doing. I want to figure out what he's talking about, right? So there are opportunities to do that, like within the platform and the expansion world. And I would say, look at that as an opportunity to grow faster. Consolidation, partnerships. So I guess to highlight, you know, number one, take your ego out of it early, get your face off the sign, think about scalability, and then find the right people to follow. Where there's no shortage, like I said, of ego in this world. And if you go to any real estate office in the world, there's a ton of BMWs and Mercedes and Land Rovers like parked outside of it. But we all know that only 10% of those cars actually should have those cars, right? So I would say if you're starting today, go find someone and actually know, do they look on Instagram like it's a business I should follow, or is it actually a business I should follow?
You couldn't have said it but any better. And I would say shout out to Lance, because I definitely know he was one of my earlier mentors because he was actually building a business. And I like to look at people that have actually built a business and not necessarily what looks like a business on the outside. And when you peek under the hood, it's really not, right? So as you go through your journey, you've been able to transition into opportunities, right? With this one being another opportunity. And one of the things that's really hard, whether it's a solo agent changing companies or looking at an opportunity, is change and transition. How have you been able to, you know, look at these opportunities, transition, and guide your people and guide your team through different opportunities?
In the beginning, you wanted to control everything. I wanted to control everything. Right? Because it was my team, my stuff, my things. And then eventually my whole world became chaos, and it has never ceased to be chaos since that moment. And at first it used to drive me crazy. I'm a high D, high C, right? Like I have a certain level of control and I like a certain level of attention to detail. And I had to get comfortable with not having access to the answer. Adam Hergenrother, this, you know, is the CEO over at Livian and, you know, one of the most brilliant minds in real estate. He talks a lot about being unattached to the outcome. So I had to really, really tie that into my business and my mindset as a guy who wants to control the outcome of everything, right? By nature, by my personality, I had to really go, I hope this works. I really do. I've done my due diligence. I've done my research. I feel good about this partnership. I feel good about this opportunity. I feel good about my DNA in it. I'm going to work. No one's going to outwork me except for Raquel. We talked about it, right? I'm going to hustle. I'm going to go after it. I feel good about my DNA in it, but I can't actually control the outcome. And I had to be okay with that. And you have to be okay with people coming and going. You know, every time we've made a pivot with my original team, who I love, and the other faces have changed over the years a couple of times, but we have some consistent voices. I always look at the team and I say, hey, this is going to be different. And I understand it's not what you signed up for originally. If you want to walk out the door, that's okay.
So you give them an option.
Yeah, I do. I give them the option. And also too, I'm unattached to the outcome because like, I understand like if you're afraid to make a change because your group of people might leave, you're always going to be stuck, right? If you're afraid to make a change because it might fail, you're never going to pull the trigger. At this point, I'm stacking up failures left and right. If I wrote on a timeline and I put everything out for you, it's like, I've been swinging for grand slams for 6 years. And I have gotten a couple singles, a couple doubles, maybe a triple here and there, right? I've never hit a grand slam. So depending on how you talk about it, like, man, David, like you keep swinging and missing on some of these opportunities. I know, but like, if you look at my bank account and you look at the 8 companies I now run from ancillary, like things that I've built and the things that I've done, like my doubles and triples and my singles have been adding up. So some people might look at this journey and go, man, like you keep swinging and you keep missing or you keep failing. But there's this thing on this path that we're on. Like if you can stack up the swings, like eventually I've tried to hit more grand slams than anybody I know. So because of that, guess who's probably going to hit a grand slam eventually? I'm learning, I'm growing, but I'm unattached to it. So yeah. When I moved into this, so when I pursued this opportunity with Gary and Adam with Livian, I was like, man, this sounds great. And I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to change the world. I'm going to shake things up. I'm going to be exactly who I am every time. I'm going to grow and I'm going to learn in this role. But I've got to be okay with falling on my face. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest piece. You've got to be okay with falling on your face.
Well, you can't have success without the deficit. You can't have the success without the failures, right? And so it's all about stacking those failures and being able to push through them. And like you said, now look at your bank account. So one of the things that I think a lot of people do when they go into partnership is they have multiple opportunities. And how do you know which one is the right one? Why did you decide to choose, let's say, Gary and Adam? Like, what are the things that go through your head? If somebody that's listening to this episode and is thinking about partnering, what questions should they be thinking about as they look at their future opportunities of partnering with somebody?
I love that question. So in the beginning, when I was first pursuing opportunities, it was like, well, who's telling me I'm the smartest and the prettiest, right? Who is like stroking my ego more? And it wasn't like I was obviously thinking that. It's like a subconscious thing, but I'm like, no, this person's really going after me, right? And that was a failed venture. So upon failure, I went back and I was like, well, where did I miss the mark in deciding? And I went back and I was like, wow, man, you were like, and to be completely transparent, I was going through a divorce. Like I didn't realize how much it was affecting me, like on the inside, even though it was a super amicable divorce. And I realized like, dude, you were super susceptible to having your ego stroked at that time. And it seems like that kind of fueled your decision. So then I moved on to the next decision. I was like, man, what do you look for this time? And through like having great mentors like you and other people, like I asked a lot of questions. How do you evaluate opportunities? What do you look for? And the first thing I looked for, number one, right, was a track record of success of the people I'd be partnering with, right? Where have they been successful? This is the same advice I would give anyone who's looking to join a real estate team is who are their success stories other than themselves? Right. If you look and you're looking at partnering someone, they're saying all the right things to you, but there's nothing but just body count, bodies after bodies of people in their world who used to be in their world. Then you go, man, I'm probably next on that body count list. Right. But if you go and you like this person has like unselfishly like built these other things with people, they've given opportunities and they have these the track record of people to stick with them. Like that's a big indicator. Right. So that track record of success, the cultural alignment, are we trying to go the same place? Right. I run fast. Right. I mean, you and I are similar in that sense. So we're like, we believe like go, 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 right. Growth now. Right. So are these people going to be able to match me? Right. And are they going to be able to contain me like in the world? Like those are important evaluations. Right. All of those things are important. Right. But also, I would say the biggest question to ask yourself is to go, what am I looking for and why? Because the biggest mistake I made when evaluating my first opportunities, as I said, I was coming off a divorce and even like a super amicable one, right? Like blessed with the best ex and mother of my child ever. You need to know like what buckets are you trying to fill by this opportunity and make sure that like you're evaluating based on that. To be very careful about the why. Right? Are you looking for a shortcut? And if you're looking for a shortcut, why are you looking for a shortcut? If you're looking for validation, why are you looking for validation? Is this going to give you validation? Right? And then also too, look at your 3-year, 5-year plan and the things that you want to accomplish and go, can I accomplish it in this world? And will it help me accomplish it faster?
I love that about you, that you're always thinking bigger. And the moment that there is any type of limitation, like most of our high performers that listen to this show, is there's always something that doesn't feel right. And I remember, you know, as I was looking at your journey, and you said something very key there, is could you accomplish what you truly want? Or is there going to be a cap in salary, cap in opportunities, cap in whatever, because that may not be for you. And as you think about playing bigger, we ask all of our guests on the show, you know, what is one thing that David does to play bigger in business and life?
I am relentless in my pursuit of bigger conversations. I travel around the country. I'll tell this story really quick. Jesse Eitzler, he's in Atlanta. Wrote multiple books. He did a podcast with Joe Rogan that changed my professional life. He said something at the time I needed to hear it, and it changed. And I was trying to get on this guy's radar, right? By any means necessary. I was like sending message on Instagram. Hey man, I'm in the town. Can I get 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes? Nothing, nothing, nothing. Finally, he responds and says, hey, my running club is meeting tomorrow. If you come run with us, I'll give you a couple minutes afterwards. I was like, great. That's awesome. Except I know that Jesse's an ultra marathon runner, right? And his running club are people that run 100-mile races at all times. I'm a big guy. I'm 6'2", right? 275, right? I think I'm in pretty decent shape for my size. And I'd been training at the time, but I'm talking about like intervals of maybe like a quarter mile with like over a total workout, maybe 2 miles total. I'm like, I got to go. I got to figure this out. And it's tomorrow and it's cold. What am I going to do? But you go where the meetings are, right? You do whatever it takes. So I show up, meet the ultra marathon club, right? And we just start running. And we didn't stop running for 10 miles. And I have so many lessons and so many takeaways, but the outcome was I got to sit and I got to talk with Jesse for 10, 15 minutes. I get to meet someone who I consider a hero. I learned so many valuable lessons through that process of running 10 miles and surviving, right? About mindset and what you can accomplish and all of these things. One of my biggest takeaways I'll share really fast, because I'm hijacking your question here, is that if I were running 10 miles by myself and I had never done it, or if I was running 10 miles with a bunch of people who had never done it, we all would have been freaking out about mile three. And that shared mindset of freaking out would have had us all stopping. The fact that I was with a crew of people who didn't even care about 10 miles in the least bit, it was nothing to them, allowed me to push further and not be bothered by it, which is a perfect segue like back into like the world of expansion and the world of connecting with a platform and running with people who are smarter than you. Because when you run with people who are constantly running faster, you're not going to feel weird about running faster. When you surrounding yourself with people who are constantly growing, growth won't seem weird to you, right? It's just something that they do and naturally you'll do. But so that's good. What I mean about being relentless about going for the meeting, right?
Yeah. And that's also a really good book too by Tim Grover, Relentless. So where can people find you and connect with you?
Anybody who wants to pick the brain or talk some shop, like I said, I'm always looking for bigger, better conversations. They can email me, right, at win@livian.com or on Instagram at TLG Companies. That's at TLG Companies. I love nothing more than connecting with people on Talking Shop because I could talk about this stuff all day.
Amazing. Well, we will also put it in the show notes. Thank you so much, David Lewis, for being on our show. If you have enjoyed this interview, please don't forget to tag David at TLG Companies. And again, we'll put it on the show notes. And I appreciate you being on our show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was a blast.
Thank you for listening to this episode and hanging out with me today. If you're loving The Raquel Show and you've gotten value from it for your business or your life, please don't forget to hit the follow button so you never miss an episode. I'd love to connect with you further, so text me at www.textraquel.com and send me a message. You'll be added to our VIP list for updates and special events we're hosting for our community. I look forward to hanging out with you on the next episode.